Well, there's bad news if you want to bring your emotional support peacock on an airplane. Travel Truth and Other Confessions returns once again. I am Eric Hastings.
And I am Jason Zumwalt.
Thank goodness you're back once again, Mr. Zumwalt. Welcome to episode 2 of our season.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Mr. Hastings. I can't wait to get into the peacocking.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of peacocking here on this show. And here's,
you know how I do.
That's how you roll, man. So this is Travel Truth and Other Confessions. We are going to make some confessions this week. But what we are going to do is we're going to help you with ideas on where to go, what to do, where to stay, how to get there, all that stuff. It's really the only travel podcast you will ever need.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's some exciting stuff.
You know what? I'm throwing the gauntlet down. That's what I'm doing. You know,
and it's a heavy gauntlet. It's a Thanos sized gauntlet with big jewels on the knuckles.
And I'm not saying there aren't other travel podcasts out there. And if you want to listen to them, that's fine. But listen,
waste your time. Go ahead.
You said it. I didn't say it. All I'm saying is I value your time, which means this is the only one that you need, provided you want to actually go somewhere. Now,
yes, of course. That is a big issue right now. Do you actually want to leave your house?
That's exactly right. And I want to, right up front here, say thank you to everyone that made the debut episode a wild success last week. Thank you for listening from the bottom of my heart, from the top of my heart. And I know you share that too, Jason. Really, really cool to see some of the interaction and the comments and whatnot. So I thought that was really cool. So thank you for that.
I was actually surprised by all the people that camped outside my house. It was a little much. It was a little much, but not much, much.
Right.
Just a little much.
I got it. All right. Now listen. The paparazzo. I love how we just changed. The paparazzi, the paparazza? I don't even know anymore. I think
we just call them Papa Johns. All of them now are just Papa Johns.
That's all we're doing. All right. Now, on this episode, we're going to answer these three questions and so much more. But here they are. I wrote them down. Should I read them, or do you want to read some of them, or do you want me to read them? Who's going to read?
Can I read them? Because I like to think I have some kind of function on this show.
You do. You too.
I want to be your Andy Richter. Let me set you up and you can knock it out of the park. What do you say?
Go ahead.
How about this? How do I get the best value for my next vacation?
Oh, that's a good one.
That's number one.
Oh my gosh, I'm excited.
We're also going to be going over how do I start planning 2021 travel? And I am very curious about this because I plan on seeing the world as soon as the gates are lifted.
I love this.
And then finally, how do I plan travel during COVID, or as I like to call it, COVID, because it's got a nice Mediterranean vibe to it.
These are great questions. And we did talk about this week. Of course, we're not just bringing this up for no reason. Our destination spotlight this week is Jamaica. Have you been to Jamaica, Jason, or no?
No, man. I would say only in my mind on a bright, sunny afternoon with Bob Marley playing and a stiff drink in my hand, and
that's
something with an ember at the tip of it in the other hand. You know what I'm saying?
I understand. Yes, I do.
Yeah, you know what I mean there?
We can't
talk about marijuana.
We can't say what it is, but it rhymes. It rhymes with Geronana. Okay, we can't say what it is. So there you go.
Okay,
it's just family friendly. yes, well... And we did get a little criticism this week.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, we got to get to, first of all, we have to get to the service animal story, but we did have a little criticism this week. And I want to talk about that because I'm dead serious. I actually invited a hater onto the program today, and he so far has declined my invitation. I'm not saying, he may just not have answered in time, because it's show business. You know, we extend an invitation, and you got to be ready to respond, and so maybe we'll get back on that.
That's exciting.
Well, I don't want to give out too much, but I'm just saying we did have some criticism. One of the criticisms that we got was I didn't talk about the travel television series that we produce called Beyond Your Backyard. And I'm sorry that we didn't really spend a lot of time on that. So there you go.
I can understand that. You've won Emmys for that. for that show.
Okay. That if we're going to go there.
I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but you accepted Emmy Awards.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And you know how I know?
How?
Instagram.
That's it. Well, you can go on the Instagram. That's right. We have that. Eric, the travel guy, is the handle. Yes. The television program that we do is called Beyond Your Backyard. We are shooting into our fifth season of episodes. We're about to release our fourth season next year here at the beginning of the year. Really talented people work on that program. And we essentially draw the conclusion that a lot of these bucket list experiences are available to you, but some experiences are found a little closer to home. And that's the basis of the TV show. So it's 30 minutes. It's on PBS. It's on Create. It's on Amazon Prime. And in 2021, I don't know if I'm able, are we, I know you went to this meeting. Are we able to talk about where it's going to be next year? Can we say yet or no? Jason, do you know?
You know me, I got a little bit of a rebel streak in me. I say go for it, man.
Well, next year, then fine. We're going to be on your streaming services. So we're going to, it's called OTT. So if you have a Roku box, if you are an Apple TV person, if you are a Samsung or Android, we're going to be on there. So you're going to be able to find us directly through there, which is really, really cool.
I like calling it going wide.
It's exactly just like my waistline. All right. Do you remember the story from United Airlines with the emotional support peacock?
I do. Yes. Among other insane animals that even more insane people thought they could bring onto airplanes. Yeah. Absolutely crazy.
Miniature horses, turkeys, possums, sugar gliders, snakes, spiders, and others. As a matter of fact, this is what I found funny about this story. The former CEO of United Airlines, Oscar Muniz, great guy, did a great job with the airline. One United Airlines passenger even tried to bring an emotional support animal he claimed needed its own separate additional emotional support animal.
What?
Brilliant.
What?
Yes.
Well, you see, my emu needs to bring in my crocodile. The emu just can't sleep on an overnight flight without his crocodile.
Last week, this is within the past, 10 days or so, the federal government finally did something about this a year after releasing the proposed rule change. Okay, they finally, the DOT, this is where this is coming from. They made it very clear what you can bring on an airplane, according to a 122-page document. Okay, we don't have time to read it all.
Wow, you're kidding me.
So airlines are now free to classify these emotional support animals as pets rather than service animals, which means they have to be required to fill out some additional paperwork telling the airline more about these animals. So this is really good news. Especially for the flight attendants. The flight attendants are the ones that had to deal with this for the most part. And, you know, back in the day, it's a safety issue. You know, there was a lot of barking, biting, nipping, growling, and fighting.
Eric, I was on a flight, and I think there must have been four or five dogs on a flight at one time. And one of them, let's just say, decided to leave a deposit in the airplane.
Yeah.
And that just began some kind of strange chain reaction in the animal kingdom where they all decided to leave their own deposits. And it was the worst flight of my life, my friend. It was just absolutely, it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
It was like, this is what hipster America has done to us all. I'm flying in a metal tube 35,000 feet in the air, and it smells like, hey, let's kill ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, this is where we're dealing with, look at what just happened on Frontier recently. This just happened, a week ago? The woman refused to wear a face covering.
Oh, wonderful.
And so the flight attendant and this is all caught on tape, of course, on film, because on the phone. It was recorded, and somebody recorded the whole thing. The flight attendant comes over. This is Frontier, I might add. This is a low-cost carrier. Now, I don't want to go into this because, you know, if the conclusion is the lower cost of an airline ticket, the lower class of person, I'm not sure I agree with that. Although, how many times a week do we see another Spirit Airlines story? Nevertheless, you know, the flight attendant said, you got to wear a face covering. She didn't respond at all until the flight attendant walked away, when she responded with thanks. And I can't say that word, but it rhymes with grasshole.
Oh, okay. All right.
The flight attendant.
I know a couple of grassholes in my neighborhood.
I got your grasshole right here. So flight attendant kicked her off the flight. And this is, again, how many flights was I on last year? In 2019? How many flights were you on? I mean, literally, probably combined hundreds. Hundreds.
Well, you know, Eric, I've always actually wanted to ask you this because you're such a positive guy and you always want to talk about, like, you know, the benefits of travel. Have you ever had, like, what's your worst flight experience?
You mean like a customer service issue?
It could be that, okay. Or it could be in flight. Yeah. What really got under your skin?
That's a great question. You know, again, 9.5 times out of 10, everything goes smoothly. I mean, I hate to be what, I got one for you. Okay. Right. Okay. This happened. And this is a really important story to me, and I've never forgotten it. It happened a couple of years ago. I want to say it was 18. I was on a low-cost carrier. Why? A, I like to fly all the airlines, so I don't just sit here and be like, oh, yeah, the view from the front is fine. Like, I fly on all of them. I have plans to fly on Allegiant next year, right away in January, etc. Nevertheless, this was on a low-cost carrier. And the reason I was on it is because they had huge fare sale. I was going from Knoxville, Tennessee, which is where I have some family down there. I was with my two children, and we were going to Disney World. Last minute, I think it was like a $28 flight per person, one way, right?
Oh my God. Like, wow, that's amazing.
It's like they're paying me, you know, to go. All right, I was like, fine. I show up, no problem. I booked the flight online, didn't have to talk to a customer service person. I showed up at the airport, got on board the plane. I boarded with the paper boarding passes in my hand. It was a big plane, 3-3 configuration. That means 3 seats on either side of single aisle aircraft. Big plane down to Orlando. It was probably a 30-minute flight, maybe 45. And we get seated, and I realize I booked us in an exit row. Now, that's against government regulations with children.
Gotcha.
Now, I see the plane. This is 18, right? This is pre-pandemic. You know, the plane is filling up quite nicely. The boarding is going fine. Remember, I booked this flight on Frontier's website, and which is fine, no problem.
You have to state the age of the children, don't you, when you do that?
Mm-hmm. I boarded. You know, that ticket was looked at by a ticket agent, a gate agent. I sat down. The flight attendant was the one who came over and said, "Oh, geez, you know, we're going to have to reseat you." And I said, "You know what? This is my fault. I booked these seats. I completely understand. Don't worry about it." You know, she said, "Let me get back to you as soon as, you know, we kind of get things settled and I'll get you repositioned here." I said, "Great, thanks." She leaves. The gate agent. Now, sometimes you see how the gate agents come down the aisle. You know, they'll do their final headcount checks. This gate agent said, "I'm sorry, you're going to need to move." And I said, "Yeah, the flight attendant was just telling me." And she said, "No, I need to move you right now. And I'll be right back." So she goes to behind me. She comes back. She goes, "Okay, I've got your seats for you." So now my young children and I stand up. We walk to the back of the plane. And she said, "Okay, you're over here. And she's over here. And your other child is over there."
Yeah, exactly. That sounds about right.
My young children, who do fly frequently, this is still 2018, which means, you know, a year and a half of more flying experience they didn't have. Look at me. They've never flown on an airplane without a parent sitting next to them, and they began to not cry, but it was very clear that they didn't want to do that.
The waterworks were on their way.
And I said, "We have to sit separately?" She goes, "I'm sorry, it's a completely full flight, and you need to take these seats so we can take off." And I said, "Well, would you mind just asking 3 people in another row to move to our seat? I'm sorry, sir, I can't do that." And I said, "Oh, now I'm in full view of, and they don't know who they're dealing with. No, I mean, full
they
view.
They have no idea that you're the man behind Beyond Your Backyard.
I mean, full view of all the passengers. Now, I said, well, we're not going to do that. She said, well, then you'll have to take another flight. And she literally, and so I walked past her in the aisle. I went to row 15, which is the row behind the exit row, which was not in their, I think, in their premium seating section. I looked at the three people behind my three seats original and said, would you three mind moving to my seats? I'll buy you lunch, sandwiches, and cocktails all the way down to Orlando if you do. And they were like, yeah, sure, okay. Those three got up, sat in my seats. The three of us sat in their seats. The ticket agent was so annoyed that she got off the plane. The flight attendant came immediately to me and said, I am so sorry for this. You do not need to buy the. And she looked at the three. She said, "We your beverage, everything you want to order is on us." And she looked at me again like, this should not have happened from the get-go. So there you go.
So what you dealt with was the little known phenomenon known as ticket agent power.
Now listen to me, Jason, that's a great point. And I'm telling you right now, I can't tell you how many people I have seen at airports lose their minds because of ticket agents. And I mean, misbehaving badly. Your fault, their fault, doesn't matter. These people go bananas. And there is a sneaky little secret that I'm going to tell you and I'm going to tell everyone who's listening, okay? You're correct in the notion that these ticket agents, you know, big power, and they do wield a lot of power. Their job is to get that plane on time. That's the job, right?
Well, yeah, and they're also, I mean, like, let's face it. They're also kind of like the last, you know, checkpoint for TSA power, too. They're not necessarily TSA, but one pick of the phone up to their ear, and all of a sudden, you're not going anywhere.
But here's what the airlines did to themselves. You want to hear what they did? Airlines, and I'm not substantiating a rumor here. I'm telling you, this did actually happen in the industry. It's not industry-wide. It's not airport-wide. But for the most part, a lot of the airlines took out, due to cost-cutting measures, a middle layer of management at the gates. And they put that on their frontline, sometimes hourly employees, to solve issues. And what management used to do, and still does, of course, you know, on in bigger circumstances, but because they began removing a lot of those people, the managers, that was their job, was to, a manager would have seen this, would have solved this
problem.
Right. If she comes over with the keys, you know she's a manager. And instead of having, you know, two or three gates, maybe a middle manager has, you know, 15 gates. Or maybe in some of these smaller airports, like Knoxville, maybe they don't have them at all. And so it's not just those frontline employees. Sometimes it is. But a lot of times, it's the airlines did it to themselves to begin with. All right. Now, I don't know how we got off on this tangent, but you asked.
No, but I'll tell you what. I'll tell you, that conversation, especially about these $28 fares, leads us to our first question. How do I get the best value for my next vacation?
Well, I'm glad.
I think that's like a great jumping off point.
It is, because, you know, getting value, and we alluded to this last week, and I'm going to bring it up again because it's really, really, really important, especially when you are seeing the fares that you're seeing now for airfare, for hotels, resorts. You're seeing great cruise fares right now. Why? A lot of inventory. Nobody's on them, right? So they either have to cancel or they have to book them. Look, if you want to get the best value for your dollar, you have to understand how each of these parts of a vacation work together in concert. That's why we call it the vacation ecosystem. We made a video about it. Look at it, because it's going to get you into things like, what's an OTA, you know, an online travel agency, Priceline, Booking.com, Expedia, Trivago, Orbitz, Travelocity, online. What's a brick and mortar travel agency? What is a travel advisor or a travel agent? How do they have product to move at certain rate? Yeah, they do. All of this stuff works together, and that's how you save incrementally on that vacation. So
I've heard, like, there's like people who ask, like, you know, are there any like secrets when it comes to saving money when you're traveling? Like, one of the rumors out there is like there's a special time of day to book flights. Have you ever heard anything like that?
Yeah, those rumors come and go. And you know, some of that stuff used to be true. You know, Travel Tuesday was kind of a big thing, depending. But the internet has really leveled those playing fields. You know, and that,
like,
that
I've even heard, like, if you use your VPN or whatever, is that what they call it? Where, like, you get the airline to think you're booking from France or something.
Yeah.
For a flight with it, and they give you like a cheaper rate. Yeah. I've even heard that. I don't know if there's any truth to that whatsoever.
No,
but it sounded fascinating.
It is fascinating. And again, these are really smart people. We talked about this yesterday, or we talked about this on last week's episode, because revenue management is a big deal for hotels. Yeah. It's a big deal for cruise ships. Revenue management meaning, are we getting the highest, best price we can for every person there? In that seat, in that room, at the buffet, out on our activities, that's a really big, and there are really smart people at Marriott, at Hilton, at Carnival, at American Airlines and United, who really, and Delta and the others, who really are here to make these companies money. And it's not just making the money. Everybody, you know, people love to demonize the airlines because sometimes they do dumb things. I'm with you 100%. Or big, you know, I don't want to work for the man. I don't want to give my money to the man. Well, who are you talking about? These companies are traded on the New York Stock Exchange. These companies are owned by people, shareholders, who, guess what they want to do? Make a profit. They want to earn a dividend. Hello.
We're all in it for the money, baby. Come on.
Sorry, not sorry, but profit is not a dirty word. That's what they're there to do. And so you, the consumer, get yourself educated. That's what I tell people. Plan early. There you go. It's on to our second question, right? Look.
Yeah, exactly. How do we start planning for vacation in 2021?
Right, we're supposed
what do
to,
you think?
What, all right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a short break because now you got me all worked up. Yes, I think that is an excellent.
Get this guy,
you get me off.
One of those things from Jamaica.
I need to sit down. All right, hold on. We're going to take a break. We have the music. Hit the thing. We'll do the thing. Hold on. We'll be right back. Travel Truth. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Mitch.
You see, Mitch knows what to do. We're going to Jamaica, man. It's because we want to talk about Jamaica this week, although we got a little sidetracked with the aviation discussion. And that's okay. It is Travel Truth and Other Confessions, available wherever you get your podcast. I am Eric Hastings. You may know me as Eric the Travel Guy. Jason Zumwalt is here.
Jason Zumwalt. You may know me as Eric's annoying friend on his podcast.
No. That's not true. All right. Now, hold on. Before we left, you said, and it's one of the three questions I said that we would answer this week, which is, how do you begin planning for 2021 now? This is a great question.
Yeah, because it terrifies me. Like, I know we're supposed to have some kind of, big cure-all, but, like, you know, what do you think, man? Like, being the man of travel that you are, where do you start?
You start by getting out a calendar. All right. Now, the reason I say I want you to get a calendar out.
Hold on. Let me write that down. Buy a calendar.
No, you can get out a pizza box or a tuna salad sandwich wrapper if need be. You can make your own calendar. You don't even have to buy one. It's okay. Yes, get a calendar out and begin to identify, first of all, the national holidays for 2021. And I'm talking about national holidays, meaning federal holidays. When are other people not going to be working? Then I want you to get out your school calendar, because if you have children or if you are in school, you are sort of, I dare say the word, slave to that calendar, but you respect that calendar and you try not to pull the kids out of school if at all possible. Get the calendar out.
Very true.
Because now you're going to, and then you're going to start to ask questions of your significant other, or if you're traveling with friends, you know, if you're not doing a solo trip, there's going to be other people involved. Now is the time to start saying, you know, what time of year is best for everyone to do something? Maybe you've got holiday travel in a normal year to consider. Maybe you have spring break travel, summer travel, longer trip, bucket list travel, extended weekends. You've got lots of options, lots of flexibility, and you know all of these dates right now. Okay? And you know a lot of them.
Gotcha.
You know more about your schedule than you think you do, because sometimes it gets a little cray-cray just thinking about it, but you actually do. And so you take that schedule and you begin to investigate things like what is the best time of year to visit a particular place? Every place has a peak season, value season, and shoulder season. That is the subject for another discussion. So I want you to start thinking about that. That's really important, because supply and demand is going to dictate what that experience is going to cost you. If you have to do Walt Disney World in the summertime, August, July, you will pay the most. Why?
Oh, and not just with money. you're going to lose weight standing in line. You know, and they say like California and Florida. Well, Florida, don't go to Florida in August. But even California, they're like, oh, it's very temperate. No, it's in the 90s easily.
Yes.
And it's not fun. I swear. Just figure this out. Listen to this man, please.
Yeah, get your
save
calendar.
Yourself the aggravation.
And part of the trip planning is supposed to be about that. You know, that conversation with others, you know, that's part of what this is supposed to be about. Remember that. That's part of the fun. You know, it's part right. of the fun to start to say, well, listen, we're going to take an extended road trip for an extended weekend road trip. Fine. Okay. Well, if that means if you're leaving on a Saturday morning and coming back on a Monday, which is how I would do a 3-day weekend, who wants to go to work on a Monday? Nobody. So why leave on Friday with the rest of the crowds? Leave on a Saturday morning, come back Monday afternoon. There, that's your 3-day weekend. Start thinking about where those places are. You get out a map and you draw a 6-hour concentric drive circle around your location, and you would be surprised at the number of options within 6 hours drive of wherever it is you're seated right now. There you go.
This is what I'm talking about. This is beyond your backdoor stuff, backyard stuff.
Here we go.
I said it again.
Week two, you can't get it right. It's okay.
I can't get it right. Yeah, right. Yeah. Beyond your backdoor, that's a whole other thing. Again, this is an X-rated episode.
It's another show.
No, but this is the kind of stuff that like people don't realize, right? They don't realize how much great things are right around them.
That's right. It's so true. We made an entire television series about it, and we're going to keep making episodes because it's true.
And you are you're still making these episodes, and you're making them now in the time of COVID, which brings me to the third question.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing that, and how would you suggest other people do it?
Well, this is where we got into trouble again last week, because I don't think I have my notes from last week handy. Oh, yeah, actually, I do. They're over here on my other part of my desk. I printed it out like an old guy. how do I plan travel? How do I start? Oh, no, that's this week. The question we asked last week was, is it safe to travel during COVID?
Right.
And my essential answer was, I don't know. Is it safe for you? And I got a lot of flack because, of course, the CDC came out with do not travel over the holidays. Like, this was the guidance. They couldn't have made it any clearer for us. Look, I apologize.
Yeah, the old CDC stepping on our coattails.
Well,
again.
I'm sorry. And thanks for saying coattail, but it's true. Look, it's up to you. We live in the United States of America. We have options. If you want to take the advice of the Centers for Disease Control, then you should do that. And if they and what they're saying is, do not travel over the holiday season. That means the entire season, Thanksgiving to New Year's, because the likelihood of spreading this virus is going up with the more traveling we do.
Amen.
It doesn't mean you can't travel. And that was my point, and we got in trouble for it. Should you travel over the holiday season? That's your call, man. This podcast isn't going to tell you what to do. That's not our job. Pay attention.
Exactly.
I mean, sorry,
Be
not
smart.
Sorry. Be smart. You know, we're dealing, this decision is like the same decisions we've been making since March. Should we send the children to school? Should we keep them home? Should we send them to school when it's an option? Should we Lysol our boxes of our home delivery? Should we go to the supermarket? What size supermarket? Should we drive? Should we walk? Should we get it delivered? We've been making these decisions. Why would that travel decision be any different or put in it into any different lens just because it's vacation? That doesn't make any sense to me. So
you know, I think one of the reasons people ask the question, it's just, you're so helpless, right? When you're in an airplane or in a cruise, right?
Yeah.
You're so helpless. It's just like, I'm just a thing on a thing right now. And like, I can't get in my car and drive away. If things go south, I'm going down with the ship. If this happens, you know what I mean? So people, I think just in general, they like to reach out to folks like you and who seem to know a little bit more. But yeah, the answer is always, when push comes to shove, just use your own common sense.
Yeah. And by the way, so far, you know, the big takeaway here, and I know we have to go because that's the end. We didn't even get to Jamaica. Are we going to move to Jamaica to next week? You have to binge listen to the show. It's on the next thing. But the big takeaway here is wear a mask. And by the way, that came up in the stupid Frontier Airlines story. This woman who, Frontier Airlines had to come out because nobody wanted to call it a mask. Right. So these policies that were written have to be written in a way. It's the craziest thing. They want to call it a face covering because it sounds nicer than you have to wear a mask. But then you have to define what that is. It can't be made of mesh. It can't be just a face shield. Like, because we don't want to say you have to wear a mask on an airplane. That's too scary. You have to wear a face covering. You need to wear a face covering. Well, the face covering needs to be an N95, blah, 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 whatever. So. Right. Again, that's the big takeaway. You have to wear your mask. You need to stay 6 feet apart from other people. If you feel sick, you stay home. Go get a test, for heaven's sakes. Go get an antibody test. That's the best we can do. Isn't that the big takeaway these days?
And they just released, too. I mean, when you said if you feel sick, they just released all of the airlines right now that are still giving you a lot of leeway when it comes to canceling flights.
Like, absolutely.
All that information is on the internet. Like, if it comes down to that, you know, make sure you've bought your tickets with one of those airlines.
Yeah, absolutely. They've all, again, the airlines in the business of making money. They want to make it. And this is where you can save big money. I'd buy a cruise right now if I had any plans to go on one. Why? Because I don't know when they're going to sail again, but they'll give you a cruise for, you know, $12 a piece because they're not quite sure when they're going to sail again. They keep saying they are, but we don't know yet. We're going to have to find out.
Where we're going. I know you and I are going to Jamaica next week.
Yeah, baby. That. All right. It is, if you're digging Travel Truth, it is important that you get this from wherever it is you get your podcast. All right. But you have to subscribe, rate it, give us a review. We so badly need your feedback. Oh, and we didn't talk about our feedback, our haters. We got some haters on the YouTube thing.
Oh, I know. We have so much to talk about. Haters in Jamaica next week.
It's going to be epic. I can tell you it has something to do with a Boston cream donut and Abraham Lincoln. There you go.
Oh boy.
It's going to be epic.
Boy.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye.